It's that time of the year. Your vacation is coming up. You can already hear the beach waves, feel the warm breeze, relax, and think about work. You really, really want it all to work out while you're away. Monday.com gives you and the team that peace of mind. When all work is on one platform and everyone's in sync, things just flow. Wherever you are, tap the banner to go to Monday.com.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 5/31/24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
This is a More Than Just Podcast production.
Hey, what's up, everybody? Welcome to episode 352 of the More Than Just Go podcast. I'm just doing a solo show here to catch you up on a few things that we've been working on over the last couple of months. And one of the obvious things, I think we talked about this on the last episode of the podcast, and that is that everybody's moving over to Mastodon, it seems. Hive is another option, but I had a look at Hive yesterday or the other day, and it's not for me. There's too much weird stuff going on over there. I think it's a little not safe for work kind of content. So there's a big talk or follow-up items here are related to Mastodon. So I joined Mastodon in 2017 when I saw Jay Freeman do a keynote speech at 360 iDev. And he mentioned, you know, he was talking about a bunch of different things that we should all be kind of aware of. And one of them was that Mastodon was sort of an up-and-coming thing to get involved in. So what I've got here in the show notes is there's an unofficial guide to maybe I'll share my screen one sec. We have number one link here is from Fedi Tips, and this is kind of a cool site. It's listing all kinds of different let me just move myself out of the way here, all kinds of tips and stuff like that on what is Mastodon, how do you join, how do you set up a server if you need to set up a server. So there's a couple of things about Mastodon that I've been talking to people about the last couple of weeks, and there's a bit of confusion, I think, amongst some of my friends. So let me set you straight what I know about it. That is that you can set up a server if you want. You can also join a server with a small group of friends, and you can keep sort of a small community, and you can decide who comes and who joins and that kind of stuff. You can have a server with one person with yourself on it, and if you wanted. Generally, I find so far it's been mostly harmless in terms of joining. I joined one of the first servers when it came up, but I don't think you can join that one anymore. But very quickly you can search around. There's a few other places you can find them. There's a video here by on Mastodon here as well. Yeah, this one here, the second one. How do you check out Mastodon? Explaining, sort of goes through the whole sort of thing. This is an older video, but I still think it's worthwhile for you looking at. I'll give this guy a like because I've watched it before. And then a couple of things here. I found this for one of the people I was following on Mastodon LinkedIn early when I joined in. Mastodon tips, 10 quick Mastodon tips. This is a quick one on how to, set up your Mastodon instance and, you know, how to join and what good apps there are. Apps, well, I've tried MetaText. I'm currently using the Mastodon, the main Mastodon app. I haven't tried Toot or Tusky, but you can see here there's a couple of apps there that are available. I'll have a link to this article in the show notes and also explains, you know, sometimes why you can't see other people. And I'll tell you something, it is a little interesting trying to find people. You can't just like insert in Twitter, you can just go in and hit search and put a person's name in or put a person's handle in. and you can find them. But 9 times out of 10, it's pretty straightforward to find somebody. You can see here, if you go to my Twitter profile, I've put my Mastodon handle here. So you would go to mastodon.social/Dimitra to find me and that kind of stuff. And come on over. It's, the water's fine. I really enjoy it. Again, another article here, you know, less brief guide to it. And this one's notes from data or from DataWitch. Everything I know about Mastodon, was afraid to ask and that kind of stuff. Well, explain what the Fediverse is and that kind of thing. So yeah, there's plenty of places to find out what is going on with Mastodon and how to join up. So on the last bit of follow-up I have here is an article from Jean-Luc Yassé, who used to be the, I think he was like the Europe, Apple Europe manager kind of thing, VP of Apple or president of Apple Europe back in the day, back in early days. But it's an interesting story here about the iPad mystery, iPad sales in particular. You know, where I'm a big fan of the iPad, and you know, I got into iOS development because of the iPad, so big on that. But what's interesting about it is you can see from the couple of charts here that I've got on the screen, kind of been, you know, it's still a low percentage in terms of sales compared to Mac or iPhone. It's actually doing, you know, almost it's doing worse than wearables are, you know, and home accessories. So. And you can see here that this is a chart of sales from, you know, where it kind of peaked in the first quarter of 2014. And then it's kind of dropping down, you know, quite a bit. It's still continuing to its decline in terms of that. So it's kind of a strange creature. It's still, you know, as Steve Jobs, he's quoted here, Steve Jobs saying that, you know, the iPad has to find a place between the Mac and the iPhone. And there's a bit about you know, the question, you know, why Tim Cook is still big on the iPad. I think it does have some future. It's getting its, you know, butt handed to it by the Microsoft service, obviously, but I'm still a big fan. I did at the, I went to the Apple store a couple times last couple of weeks, and I got a chance to test drive the new Keyboard Folio, which you can see here on the, I don't know what this one is, but this one here over on the, that I'm highlighting. That one has function keys, and that was kind of cool. And it compared to the Magic, you know, I have the original Magic keyboard here. So, you know, compared to this, the keys are much more responsive, much nicer. The one thing I don't like about it is, you know, that doesn't have the sort of, you know, floating in midair that the, you know, the current iPad Pro has. Right. But yeah, I mean, really, really nice keyboard. And I really miss having function keys on my iPad Pro. Not so much, you know, I don't much miss. I'm not a, you know, shoot escape key user like I guess a lot of programmers are, but that's one thing that I find interesting. So that's kind of where the state of the iPad is. I'm still a fan. It's interesting that, you know, we talked about this before, this sort of, you could perceive it as fragmentation across the iPads. These are current iPads that are available. The 10th generation iPad we talked about on the last show that we had, and, you know, iPad Pro. And you know, if you're just looking for an iPad to poke around on the internet and just do stuff, you know, this is your mom's iPad over here, the 9th generation, you know, at $329 US, about the same price in Canada today on with the, it's a bit around 400 and something, but I saw some, Black Friday, Cyber Monday sales for about $349. So your mileage will vary. And of course, yeah, I guess by the time this comes out, Cyber Monday will be over, unfortunately. But yeah, I would keep an eye on Christmas time. I'm sure Apple will have another round of iPads available. But still, I'm still a big fan of the iPad. I think it does have a future in terms of where things are going. Carrying on, we have the results are in from the Ray Winderlich State of the Apple sphere. They took some time to, I don't know if you saw this, but they did a survey of, similar to what we've talked about on the show before, the result, you know, the mobile job survey. Not much meat to this particular result that they're presenting here. But, and by the way, sorry, did I say Winderlich.com? I should have said Codeco or Codeco.com. There's a big debate as to whether you say Codeco or Codeco, but there we go. So they had a survey and listed off some of the things that are important. And of course, you know, I don't know if you saw my talk, but there's a talk on YouTube where I talked about getting a job in iOS environment. And no surprise here that the majority of people responding to the survey are United States, second, probably somewhere between India and China, it looks like. India and Canada. So this is Canada, not China. Duh. And so 75% developers feel secure in their positions for long-term employment. And this is, of course, done before the last of the big layoffs that happened in the last couple of weeks. We had Meta, in case you missed it, had laid off 11,000 employees. Most of the companies that are dealing with advertising, it seems that are having a tough time. I think they kind of overestimated the demand that there would be at with COVID. Maybe it's not over, maybe it is over, who knows. But an interesting number here on the kind of things that people are, and I talked about this in my talk about the different kinds of stocks you get here. And of course, if Mark was on the show, he could explain all this to us. But you have restricted stock options, seems to be the biggest piece, that 50% of the people get those. What that is you're given the right to buy stocks when they become mature. A grant, obviously a stock grant, is somebody they're actually giving you the equivalent of giving you cash or giving you stock. Incentive stock options are like 11-17% here, are similar to where you buy stock and they may match to a certain level, that kind of thing. So, and then equity is like, I'm not a big fan of equity myself, but unless it's really going to take off, which they all say they will, but they often don't. And then, salary over time. I can't read this. It's too objective. C, I don't know. Swift is sort of in the middle here. It looks like C++, Python are sort of more on the higher sides. Why would that can't be objective C? Oh, well, I guess it is. Who knew people are still doing objective C? Anyway, some more numbers on there. But anyway, so have a look at the survey. Like I said, we've covered surveys that are a bit more in depth than this one. So check that out. Another interesting thing we talked about, the Apple Ultra, of which I have one. Love it. It's great. This is the always on display, and this is how bright it gets. Oops, I guess let me click on something here. So you can see, it's not too big. It took a while to get used to the weight of it, but otherwise it's not that much bigger than my existing phone. It's a little thicker. I like the fact that you can see that it has no more rounded glass on the edge. I was worried about banging that on something. That said, I still got Apple Care. But as you can see here, the page I pulled up, you now have availability to the action button. The action button, what it does, like on mine, I've got the default setting for mine set up, that when I tap it, it's on the back here. When I tap it, it just goes right to my workout, which I think is great. Cause this for me was the big thing, because, I immediately can just start a walk, boom. And then I'm off and running, kind of thing, or off and walking actually. But so it's super nice to be able to do that from the action button. But that said, if you have an application that you think you could use the action button for, you've got this ability through this newly released SDK piece for you can start your intent and you can pause and whatever, so that you can control things from the action button here. When I've got a walkout going on my watch, I push the button. It does like an interval kind of thing. So if I'm doing laps or if I'm walking a distance or whatever, it for me, because I'm in Canada, it automatically does an interval at each kilometer. So I get 1 kilometer, 2 kilometers, 3 kilometers, however long my walk is, kind of thing, right? So that is the Apple Watch action button. Then we have this interesting talk. I saw, this is something that the benefit of being on Mastodon. I found this article on Mastodon
posted by Rob Whitaker.
It's actually written by Shelley Brisbane, wrote this article. And she is visually impaired, and but not blind, but visually impaired. And she talks about, it's an interesting story, and I gotta take Apple to task on this one, because they're always talking about how they're really into accessibility, and be honest, they are. I mean, today, they do put a lot of emphasis into accessibility. They had a whole, all of WWDC 2021 was all about accessibility and making your apps accessible. you know, whether it's, you know, dark mode or dynamic fonts or, you know, just being aware of the fact that there's a large percentage, probably like 60% of the people out there, and that's, I'm just making that number up, but have some sort of disability, and whether it's hearing or visual, or, you know, I'm wearing glasses. Wearing glasses is a disability, believe it or not. You know, I use large fonts on my phone as well as my watch. But this is an interesting story.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role. Like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
36 seconds that changed everything. When the iPhone first shipped, it was not accessible. It wasn't even on the table. I don't know, but you basically, if you, at the time, and I implore you to listen to her talk, at the time it was really difficult for people who had visual impairments to use computers. You had to sometimes, and if you had a phone, you could have a flip phone or that kind of thing. But in order to do like screen reader kind of things, they used to have to pay even more than the computer to get a screen reader back in the day. This is 2007 when the iPhone came out. Basically, to them, it was a completely useless device because it, you know, had a nice smooth screen and it felt really nice in your hand and that kind of stuff. But if you couldn't see it, you couldn't use it, right? So, and it wasn't until a few years later that in 2009, that when Phil Schiller was doing the keynote because Steve was on a sick leave, he introduced VoiceOver for the phone. VoiceOver was available on the Mac about the year before. And it, you know, was great because now the Mac could read your screen to you kind of thing. But so it wasn't until 2009 that they actually rolled out VoiceOver on the phone. And that, and the thing is, they, no slides, it's just, he just sort of said, by the way, we've added accessibility. We now have VoiceOver on the phone. And he basically took 36 seconds to explain what was going on with VoiceOver and accessibility. And now, you know, butter would melt in their mouth when they talk about accessibility. Again, I'm taking Apple to task on that one, I realize. But yeah, I mean, they did. It was not an accessible device from the get-go, which I find personally shocking. But and I really feel for the people who had to suffer through the 2 years. Can you imagine not having the $500, but not being able to buy an actual device? That would have been brutal. Talk about your FOMO. Anyway, so yeah, definitely check out this 36 seconds that changed everything and how the iPhone learned how to talk, which is cool. And I got a couple of picks here. I've been amassing picks as we go. This is one from Ricky Mondello. He posted this on Twitter, but he works for Apple, obviously, this is a really cool, interesting demo on how I use two-factor authentication with 1Password. You can use it with LastPass as well. But you can now set up two-factor authentication with your phone, like with Safari kind of thing, or with a keychain. It goes through how to set it up here. Like, for example, in the example here, they talk about, you know, if you want to do your two-factor authentication for Instagram, I almost said Instacart, Instagram, you basically go in here, you go into your settings, you click on the more button or the hamburger menu up here, go to settings, and then you do security, two-factor authentication. I've already done this with 1Password, but you could do this using your phone as your two-factor authentication. Here he's blurred out the stuff here, but yeah, then whenever you need to log into Instagram on a new device, your Safari, your iCloud keychain becomes the source of truth for your second factor authentication. That's cool. This one is by Sean Allen. stop talking, Sean. Thanks. Goes through different features of Xcode on how to set up different views. And so quite a few cool things. Like I can't remember what I learned from this one, but let's quickly scan through this one. Quality of life, UI previews, which we talked about before. Test flight feedback, default value. Oh, this is cool. Yeah, just default values in Xcode. How it'll automatically enter stuff in. And we talked. You may have seen this in other videos where things will come up like this. It'll show you what it can suggest. But if you hold the Option key down, it actually shows you a few more things that you can do. Yeah, so check out this video. A lot of cool features in here, like how to set up a defaults command so build times will always show up. There's a way to do multiple changes at the same time. So when you're changing a variable, it'll change all over the place. But he could highlight these and change them all to lets, for example. Which would be kind of cool. Like, and just, taking the mouse and just dragging it over and selecting the multi-select kind of thing. So yeah, check out that video. Pretty cool. Always good to see some cool shortcuts and stuff like that. This one is cool. I'm working right now. I'm working on a Core Data Swift UI application. And one of the biggest problems I have with a lot of tutorials out there is they kind of cover off very simple Core Data app where there's like one level. Well, I mean, a lot of times the whole power of Core Data is to use relationships between multiple objects, either one-to-one or one-to-many kind of thing. Like maybe you have a list and you have a list, bunch of records that are connected to that list kind of thing. So this is a really good article from Codico. Notice I said Codico this time, by Josh Steele. And he goes through Core Data, explains in very plain terms how Core Data works, how the manage object contents and the persistent store. Manage object contents is kind of the object you keep floating around in your app, and you basically you tell it to save, and it just saves the stuff that you have. It's not quite that simple, but talks about that, and the persistent store is where where things go into memory and then eventually get saved to disk or memory or whatever it is you have in your data store. So it goes through the whole sort of how to make a model, that kind of stuff. But what's cool about it is in the second part of the course, yeah, beyond the basics, this is where he talks about relationships between objects. And this is a really cool one because he goes through creating he creates a bunch of, like, he's using rocket launches as an example here. And so he's displaying the launches and then creating lists and then attaching the launches to the lists. And I was stuck in my thinking on my Core Data app. I was coming at it from the point of view of being the old school web, relationship. I've worked with FileMaker Pro. I've worked with databases my whole computing career. So I have a sort of way of thinking about it. And I was approaching it kind of wrong, because the way they walk through this course has taught me a bunch of different things about how I'm perceiving and how I'm working through the app. So definitely check this guy out. And then, you get into the third piece, the third course, which is, where is it here? But anyway, it goes through how to delete objects. Oh, maybe it's part of this one. Hang on. Yes, deleting, cutting different kinds of deleting rules, how to delete lists. I mean, because now if you have a simple table, like a simple list or a bunch of objects, and you delete one, it goes away. It's magic. The Core Data is really good at doing that kind of stuff. The thing about Core Data, if you're familiar with CRUD, create, reuse, or create, read, update, and delete. In other languages, you generally have to write all that stuff out yourself. And what I've always liked about Core Data, it just kind of does it for you. If you want to delete something, it goes, okay, I'll delete it. If you want to, save something or update it, it'll go through and kind of do that for you too. Kind of magically, in you don't really need to know about it. But as I said before, the first part of the course is really good at explaining that to you. Really good course. I highly recommend this if you're thinking about Core Data or you wanted to work with Core Data, and of course Core Data and Swift UI, which is kind of the new thing. Because I mean, at the end of the day, Core Data is an Objective-C language framework, and so working between it does a really good job explaining between Swift UI and Objective-C how to get them to work, how to get the interoperability working, which is kind of cool. So that's that. And then a couple of things coming up. New York Swifty is a new iOS Swift-based conference coming up in New York City. The link here is NY50. Not much going on there right now. They're just still setting up shop, but that's coming in the next, in 2023. A little bit more substance is the Deep Dish Swift conference in Chicago. And that's April 30th to May 2nd. And they're, both of these are still are in the process of calling for papers if you want to, or calling for presenters if you want to present. But yeah, they're both. So if you're looking for a Swift conference to go to replace the gap that 360 iDev has left in our lives, and you want to go something in the United States, then definitely check out New York Swifty or NY Swifty, or I'm assuming it's in New York, but NY Swifty, it's in New York. And Deep Dish Swift in Chicago. And the last thing I've got here, and this is just came up, if you do make that migration over to Mastodon and you want to find out where some points of interest, this Fedi directory has a whole list of things you can look into on different kinds of things. So like, for instance, let's go to computer and technology. You know, let's suppose you wanted to look at 8-bit computing or what have you. Let's see, Linux. You've got voice over IP, UI, UX, smartphones, technology, software and development. Let's go there. And these are all the sort of people that are interesting to follow on the various places and how to find them on, as I said before, like, you know, this guy's at gamedev.place. This guy's at Mastodon Social. How to find people related to the subject matter. I wonder if I'm on here. But you can find that anyway. So yeah, check that out. So that's Fedi directory. And I'll have a link in the show notes for that one too. So until I'm going to have an interview coming up in the next couple of weeks, hopefully before Christmas. That'll be out. And we'll basically see you guys the next time that Apple does an event of some type. We were expecting an iPad 1, but we didn't get an event per se. But I would think that something's coming up in the spring, which is usually when we expect to see something from Apple. And otherwise, if I can get Mark and Jaime back on the show for any reason, we'll have another round table as we normally do. So until next time, my name is Tim Mitra, TimMitra on the Twitter machine, also on mastodon.social. You can also find me on YouTube at youtube.com/Tim Mitra, TimMitra again. And until next time, we'll see you in the future. Oh, and if you're watching this on YouTube, don't forget to mash the like and subscribe thing, whatever. You know, I need more people to subscribe, definitely. And check out Spotcast if you haven't already. I last episode of More Than Just Code, I put a preview episode of Spotcast up there for you guys. So if you're missing Jaime and myself, I highly recommend that you come over and check out Spotcast. We don't just talk about Star Trek. We talk about Marvel. We talk about Disney. We talk about Apple. We talk about Star Wars, a lot of Star Wars. And we talk about we sometimes talk about code. In fact, we even talk about some of the issues that you know, cross over between TV and streaming and the More Than Just Code world. So every now and then you'll hear Jaime sort of mention this show. So thanks for listening, and yeah, we'll see you in the future. Okay, bye.
This has been another episode of the More Than Just Code podcast. If you want to find out more about the show, you can visit the More Than Just Code website at mtjc.fireside.fm. There you can find a summary and show notes of each episode. We list links to the apps, code, and news that we mentioned on the show. If you like the podcast, tell your friends, leave a comment on the website, or write a review on iTunes. And please recommend us in your favorite podcatcher. All of these things help others find out about the show. We really appreciate your help with spreading the word. We're also on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. We'd love to hear from you, so use the hashtag AskMTJC, and we may mention you on the show. Friends of the show can also join us on the podcast Slack channel. Once again, the podcast Twitter account is at MTJC_podcast. Please consider supporting the show by pledging any amount on patreon.com/MTJC. Every dollar pledged helps a lot. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.